the message of grace cannot be reduced to sin management.
God does not speak for the fun of it. There's so much power in His word. The Bible says, in Him, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace.
That means the deeper you go in your understanding of righteousness, the more you reign. The more you reign. Now, two very significant, in fact, the two most dominant characters in the Old Testament were who? Abraham and David. Somebody say, where do you have that proof? Study Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Is there? He said, this is the genealogy of the generations of Jesus, the son of Abraham and the son of David. Were there the two people in the lineage of Jesus? No. No. But he brought them out. He said, Jesus is the son of Abraham. That's Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. He said, Jesus is the son of Abraham, and Jesus is the son of David. That is to show you that they are the most dominant characters in the Old Testament. And guess what? These two men had something with righteousness. These two men had the understanding. There was a relationship between these two men and the revelation of the righteousness of faith. Have you noticed? In scriptures, in Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says, when Abraham was doubting God, and God told him, say, come out of your tent, look toward heaven. Can you tell the stars? Look toward heaven. Can you number the stars? And I've told you before that the Hebrew word there means to recount. It means to tell a story. That means God was using the stars to tell Abraham the story about his seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Really, that was what happened. I believe personally that that was what happened there. He wasn't necessarily counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No. Remember, in Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God, in diverse manners, at sundry times, spoke to our fathers. But in these last days, has spoken to us through His Son. What He's saying is, in different times, in the days past, God used the language that the fathers could understand to speak to them. If you know anything about God, God is a communicator. He's not ambiguous when He communicates. He's intelligent with communication. That means He gets to the people's levels and use what they can understand to communicate with them. Look at the ministry of Jesus. The Bible says the common people heard Him gladly. Yeah. That means Jesus did not use big words. He didn't use words that His audience did not understand. Because as far as He was concerned, he's a perfect teacher. And you have not taught if the people have not understood. So Jesus used parables. He spoke to them using agrarian context. He spoke to them using fishing. He spoke to them using the things that could understand in that dispensation. Remember that Abraham came from all of the Chaldeans, which was a hub of astrology. That means they understood how to read the stars. Are we together? So God had to get to his level and tell him, look into the star, and told him stories using the understanding of the stars. And he saw Christ. He saw Christ. He saw his seed. How many saw it? The Bible says he believed. Verse 6 or 7 or so, he says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him. Meaning it was credited to his account for righteousness. That is the beginning of the righteousness of faith. He believed. That means this pattern of righteousness doesn't come by works. It comes by believing. The Bible says he believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You can put a scripture up in Genesis chapter 15. That was the beginning of the righteousness of faith. Remember, I told you the two dominant figures in the Old Testament have the understanding of righteousness. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Go to verse 6 now. Verse 6. So shall I see be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. That is the righteousness of faith. He didn't do anything to end this. He just believed God. This is the kind of righteousness I'm talking about. Are you here? Glory to God forevermore. Again, when you read Psalm, quickly put up. When you read Psalm 32, 1 to 2, put it up. Psalm 32, 1 to 2. David also had the understanding of righteousness. Oh boy, if you check out the things that David did, you will know that, look, there was a New Testament understanding about David. And you see, nobody gave more messianic prophecies than David. Have you noticed? Not even Isaiah. He had among all the Old Testament prophets, and he was a prophet too. He spoke the most about the Messiah. And some of those prophecies came through his songs. Some of those prophecies came through his prayers. That is the power of having relationship with God. It's not about shaking and convulsing. I said, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord." I mean, David would be singing, and those words that were coming out of his mouth, effortlessly, they were prophecies. He'd be playing his harp and giving poems, and those words will be prophecy. Sometimes praying about his enemies, and he'll be prophesying about the sufferings of Christ. You can see that in Psalm 22. Praise God. So here, he gives us the mind of David. How about now? I said 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. This gives you a picture of the New Testament, a picture of redemption. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Ah, that means there's a system that covers sin. Amen. That is level one. Level two. This is where we belong. He said, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." That imputing is an accounting term. It means, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord does not credit iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That is righteousness. You know, Paul quoted that when he was talking about the righteousness of faith in Romans 4. He quoted the same thing. But my point is, it is no coincidence that the two most dominant figures in the Old Testament have the revelation of righteousness. And why were they the most dominant? The Bible calls Jesus the son of Abraham and the son of David. That means it was from them that the Messiah came. You know, scriptures refer to Abraham as father and refers to David as king. As king. As king. What he's saying is, without the understanding of righteousness, you can never truly experience the fatherhood of God. And if you don't experience the fatherhood of God, you cannot represent him as a son. Amen. And number two, what he's saying is, without the understanding of righteousness, you can't enter into kingly authority. For David is called a king. Glory to God. And Jesus is the son of Abraham and the son of David. Are you getting it now? So we're talking about the righteousness of faith, not the righteousness of works. In Isaiah 64 verse 6, the Bible summarizes all of human effort, all of human righteousness as a filthy rag. Isaiah 64 verse 6, as a filthy rag. Actually, the Hebrew expression, sorry, I have to do this, permission from the ladies, is the Hebrew expression is menstrual flux rags. That means what two men use to collect. It is not something you stay with. Do you understand? He's talking about menstrual rags. You can imagine how unacceptable that is. How incompatible that is. That's what he's saying. He's saying with God, the righteousness of the flesh is incompatible. It's like a filthy rag. It's like a menstrual flux rag. What do? You discard it. So God had to create a system to put upon us and in our spirit his own righteousness. That is what redemption made provision for. So after redemption, what came was the righteousness of faith. Have it together. That thing that gives us the right to our inheritance on the earth. Listen, in righteousness is our right over the earth. Romans chapter 4, very quickly. We're getting into it now. Romans chapter 4 verse 13, very quickly, KJV then Amplify. Our inheritance is in righteousness. We're talking about reigning to righteousness. Reigning to righteousness, understanding righteousness and reigning to righteousness. Watch this. He says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world. He's talking about Abraham. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That means their right over the inheritance, which is the whole earth, is the righteousness of faith. Did you get that? That means the only right that Abraham and his seed has over the earth is the righteousness of faith. Did you get that? Remember, God willed the whole world to Abraham. We own this world. You've heard me say that. We own this world because we are the seed of Abraham. There is no part of this world that is not part of our inheritance. None. Including the mountains and the seas. Because we are the seed of Abraham. For God gave a promise to Abraham. He said, Abraham, to you and your seed, I have given the nations. He says, the access to that promise is the righteousness of faith. Give me an amplifier. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity. You know what posterity means? That is it. That he should inherit the world. Aye! Inherit the world. Glory to God. Inherit the world. Inherit the world. This should shape your worldview. Yes, that you are the seed of Abraham, and but there is a promise that Abraham and his posterity should inherit the world. It should shape your worldview. That means you're a global person. That means you can walk, you can operate in a global landscape. Glory to God. Your natural background, inconsequential. You have the right to the nations of the earth. Because you are the seed of Abraham. That means products from you should cover the earth. Ideas from you should cover the earth. Oh, your company can be listed on London Stock Exchange. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Even though you are from Africa. Why? Christ is a great equalizer. You have become the seed of Abraham. You have become the heir of the promise. You remember Galatians chapter 3? Verse 29, he said, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. You no longer judge yourself according to your pocket. You no longer judge yourself according to your bank account. You no longer judge yourself according to the family you came from. Those things are not important anymore. You came from another family now. You are the seed of Abraham. When they are talking about generational curses, you are talking about generational blessings. Because from Abraham, the blessing to inherit the world has come upon you. Can I get an amen? Be conscious of generational blessings. And listen, generational blessings are more powerful than generational curses. The blessing and the curse, which is most powerful? The blessing. The blessing. If they are generational curses, they are generational blessings. Never waste your time thinking about generational curses. Don't do that. No, you're a new creation. You are the seed of Abraham. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That new creation is the seed of Abraham. You came out of God. He said, you are of God, little children. You came out of God. You proceeded out of God. And he connects you. Look at the lineage he connects you with. Abraham, do you know how big Abraham was? Abraham was so big, he had 318 servants in his own house. And listen, the way this blessing is designed, is that it increases with generations. You didn't get that. God has designed that the blessing of this inheritance increases with generation. That's consistent with scriptures. Mommy, see, if Abraham was so large, he was so big that kings went into treaties with him. He was so big that he dealt with kings directly. The other day when his cousin was taken, his nephew rather, Lot was taken by Chedorlaomer and his bullies. The Bible says he took 318 servants trained in his house. Trained servants. Those are the trained ones. When you add the untrained ones and add their wives and children, imagine the size of the household. Imagine how big your lineage is. This is not two small cars, your wife and children. No, you are big. You are so big you can accommodate other big people. Eliezer of Damascus was so big, yet you're the servant of Abraham. You are so big. Oh, glory to God. This is our lineage. Your natural background doesn't define you in Christ. No, except you're not a Christian. It doesn't define you. No, it doesn't define you. You don't look at where you're coming from to see the future. No, you look into the world to see the future. And according to the word of God, you are the seed of Abraham. And there's a promise to Abraham and his posterity to inherit the world. We're inheritors of the world. That means nothing is too good for you. Listen, it's with this consciousness that we can truly represent the king on the earth. A small mind cannot represent the king. No. Haven't you noticed in the Bible that God is not the God of the poor? Amen. He's for the poor, but he's not the God of the poor. He says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Were there poor people? No. Do your scriptural forensics and see how rich these people were. How big they were. No, look at Isaac. The Bible says he was so big that the entire Philistine nation envied him. They entered into a peace treaty with Isaac. The Bible says he began to prosper. He went forward until he became very prosperous. Kalabakota. You see, God associates himself with the rich. He's there for the poor, but he's not the God of the poor. It shouldn't offend you. Is the truth. That means if God meets a poor man, he upgrades him so he can relate with him. Do you understand? If not, with that poverty thinking, you will scatter his plans. Are you here? He upgrades you. I remember listening to a pastor years ago. I laughed, I almost fell. He said in the 90s that he will never forget, as a young Christian from a very poor background, he was in Archbishop's meeting, Idahosa's meeting. So Idahosa said poverty is a curse. God, something about God and poverty or something. He said he was so angry. He also, and that's what religion does. Why was he angry? He was angry because he felt, is he saying that God does not love us, the poor? That was not what he was saying. He's saying that when God meets the poor, didn't you know what the Bible says? He said to the poor, the gospel is being preached. What is the good news to the poor if he doesn't change his state? He's saying, well, this gospel gets to the poor. It changes their minds. It changes their estate. It changes their status. Because poverty is a disease of the mind. Poverty is not the absence of money. Beggars always have money before them. Go and check in Terminus. But they are still poor. Why? Is a virus that affects the mind. Only the gospel is the cure. Poverty is a declaration of inability. I can't. I am not able. That is poverty. But when the gospel comes, Kalabakaya. No, you are hearing this, that you are the seed of Abraham. From your small corner now, you can think about the whole world. It has given you new pictures of possibilities. For the promise. Look at this. Put the amplifier up now. Blessed Lord Jesus. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity that he should be the heir of the world. Can we have the amplifier quickly? I'm still reading the scripture now. Just put it up for me. There's something I want us to see in the amplifier. Romans 4:13. The amplifier, it was up. You're supposed to leave it there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rikapato sala. Oh, hallelujah. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity that he should inherit the world did not come through observing the commandments of the law, but to the righteousness of faith. Did you see that? It came to the righteousness of faith. Through the righteousness of faith. Listen, without that thinking of the righteousness of faith, you cannot reign in life. That's what he's saying. Because your access to this inheritance is the access of, is the righteousness of faith. The promise of inheriting the world was given to Abraham and his seed to the righteousness of faith, not through keeping the law. Let's read more scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. Romans 5. Thank you, Lord. In fact, let's read 17, then go to 21. We'll read 17, then go to 21. Hallelujah. He said, For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace, thank you, Holy Spirit, and of the gift of righteousness shall do what? Shall reign in life. So you can see righteousness and reigning. Righteousness are reigning. You know why this is important? I told you last week that, you see, life at different stages will come to review your convictions. And their height you can never attain if you don't know where your feet are standing. Did you get that? is impossible. As you rise, life will come to reveal your convictions, your persuasions. Part of that persuasion is your understanding of where you are standing. And that is righteousness. That's standing with the Father. What we call rise standing with the Father. And the ability to also stand before Satan without the sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, and inferiority is righteousness. So it's impossible to truly rise when you are not sure of your standing with the Father. And when there is no confidence to stand before Satan and his works and not shake. Life will come to reveal that persuasion and conviction. Can I see why the revelation of righteousness is connected to reigning? Reigning in life is not living average life. No, this is not living normal life now. You are doing things that naturally people cannot do. We're going to get into the third dimension of grace. You are doing things that is obvious. Look, this person is empowered from another realm. That is not possible if you are not sure of your right standing with God. Your heart will shake. And when that shaking starts to happen, you have two options. Amen. And you see, a lot of people have gone with the option B. And that is to go and partner with the kingdom of darkness for relevance. A lot has done it. Because see, truly, there are places you cannot enter until you are sure of where your feet are standing. You can't. Nice Christianity cannot get you there. So you will compromise, you will bend. Having good intention is not enough. Life must be powered by insights and persuasions. And this insight, the crux of it, is this understanding of redemption and righteousness. Oh, life will come to reveal your convictions. Life will come to reveal your persuasions. Where are you standing? Forget the English they are speaking. I told you last week that at the time Zuckerberg was under pressure to sell Facebook. I maybe remember the story. Under pressure. We heard that Steve Jobs took him somewhere in India. Amen. When he returned, he didn't have to sell. Where do you think they went to? To attend business class? They can have that in Harvard. All new way of programming. Primitive practices. Are you here? So, you cannot reign in a demilitarized zone. And truly, in this life, there's no demilitarized zone. Did you get that? You can write that somewhere else. On earth right now, there's no demilitarized zone. That means you're on either in the army of God or helping out with Satan's antagonism. I told you that in the world, only two things are happening. The advancement of God's kingdom and the antagonism of the same by the kingdom of darkness. So you either enhance, you're part of the advancement of God's kingdom, reigning, walking in dominion, or you're on the other side, being oppressed, being deceived, being confused. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, but the day you got born again, righteousness was transmitted into your spirit. I'm not telling you about something you don't have. I'm awakening your consciousness. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I'm doing. So it says, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gifts of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. They shall reign in life. The way to reign in life is by receiving abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Simply put, the way to reign in life is through the government of grace. Did you get that? Go to verse 21 now. Hi. He said that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace kaye bakasaya. Man de pora bakasaya. No, look up everyone. Don't write. Read the scripture. Let's read it together from the beginning to the end. One, two, go. Everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, he couldn't get better than that. He couldn't get better than that. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness. To righteousness. You see why I call it the executive expression of grace. Righteousness. I didn't form it. It's in the Bible. He said, grace reigns to righteousness. That means the grace of God in your spirit, the grace of God on your life operates to righteousness. That's what he said. Grace reign. To reign means to king. It means to dominate. It means to walk in perpetual victory. Have it together. Even so, my grace reigned to righteousness. Oh, unto eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The government of grace. You can't find these things I'm teaching in any book. I'm going to put it into a book. Amen. Grace reigns to righteousness. Is why I told you that the revelation of righteousness is part of the skill set you require to reign as a Christian. Grace reigns through righteousness. Do you have TPT now? All right, let me read it from here. Or you can give me your TPT. Glory to God. Celebronde sushtepaya. Are you blessed this morning? Glory, glory, glory. Grace reigns through righteousness. Give me Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Verse 21. Sorry, verse 1. I'm gonna go to Isaiah 26, verse 2. I'm gonna close. Hi, thank you, Lord. Once you get to TPT, let me know. I think mine is ready. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm in Isaiah 32. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Speak in tongues where you are. Oh, Rebecca Taliga Tayabaya. Livros kamatena la pasa. Oh, lepronda sushta. Erebos kashta. Oh. Oh, glory to God. Look at this. Look at this. He said, behold, the king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. A king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. How does a king reign? In righteousness. You can see the connection between reigning and righteousness there. Give me Isaiah 26 verse 2. Isaiah 26 verse 2. He's telling us that righteousness command gates to open. He said, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may come in. Hallelujah. This is how we reign. You must know that you have your right standing with God. Because Satan will come for you. Amen. And that's not to get you scared. Glory to God. You see, as you increase levels, like I told you last week, there are demons who don't know you. Amen. Many of you here, Satan does not know you. Amen. So glory to God. But see, as you rise, these things become important. As you begin to take a stand for the gospel and to do big things with God, this is non-negotiable. That's what he's saying. You must know where you stand. You must know where you stand. You must know. When a territorial spirit walks to your room because you are now doing serious business in deep waters, what is your stand against him? Righteousness. 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 Remember the story of Lesser Somerville? After he cast out the devil from a juju priest in South America, also in somewhere in South America, if I'm not mistaken, that night, obviously that priest was hosting the territorial spirit that had held the land bondage. That night, the devil, high-ranking devil, came to his room, scattered everywhere, everywhere. And he says, in the name of Jesus, I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of my room. Get out of here. The wind and the personality went out through the window. Then he looked at his room and saw that everything was scattered. He said, ah, who is going to arrange these things? Come back here, arrange this place, and go back. The wind came, arranged the beds, the papers, the room, and went out. Righteousness. We call it reigning through righteousness. reigning to righteousness. This is how gates are open. This is how doors are open. You are coming in somebody's name. You are coming with the authority. You are coming with the authority of righteousness. He says that grace may reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Unto eternal life. Let me read this for you. From TPT. And just as sin reigned through death, so also this sin conquering grace will reign as king through righteousness, imparting eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is remarkable. He's saying the reign of grace is through the impartation of righteousness. That's what he's saying. This is how grace reigns. So, after grace has done the work of redemption, setting the legal framework, meeting the demands of justice, for reigning now, he imparts righteousness. He gives righteousness to eternal life. That's what he said. To eternal life. Because righteousness and eternal life goes together. Remember in Galatians chapter 3, he said, if there had been a law that would have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. You can check in Galatians 3. He said, if there had been a law that could have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. It would have been by the law. That means the operating system of righteousness is eternal life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The OS is eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Are you here? Through the impartation of that life, righteousness comes. And grace reigns to righteousness. Grace, I have done a series on righteousness. Go and sit down with them. Go and sit down with them. He's saying a believer that will be heard above. A believer that will do extraordinary thing must understand righteousness, because grace reigns to righteousness. Rise to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Lika patose lika prunda sushtapora di lekepaya. Enzushti vamata nabasaya. Luka se brandi sestapaya. Emzebda kiprebuska. We can never stand before God with our works. No. We stand before Him because of what Jesus has done. We stand before Him because of what the Master has done. I want you to look unto the sacrifice of Jesus. I want you to look unto the works of Jesus. I want you to see the Lamb slain. And see that, look, the root of your life is this sacrifice of Jesus. Can we do that as we speak in tongues, as we worship the Lord? Zelike brunda sushtepura dile kepatai. Yeyarabako sushtepuraba. Thank you, Lord. Shakapetula brida kapetusa. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. You are my grace, Salados. You are my ransom. You are my ransom. Oh, you are my grace. Oh, you are my mercy. You are my ransom. You are my grace. Salalosa bararabos. You are my mercy. Oh, you are my ransom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are in this hall or watching online, all eyes closed. Can you just bow your heads? You are in this hall and watching online. you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is your moment. And those of you watching online, I want you to get your communion elements ready. Like I told you, this is like renewing your charm. Amen. Every opportunity to take communion is like renew your tumoko in African parlance. So it's not something you do irreverently. No. It's something you do with understanding. You have to discern the Lord's body according to Paul. That means you do it knowing that, look, as your high priest serves you his body and his blood, there's a rejuvenation. There's a refreshing. There's a strengthening that happens. Amen. There's a renewal of your charm, quote and unquote. There's an activation of favor at a level. That's what is about to happen. So I want you to put your faith. What's on your mind? What are you believing for in this season? Put your eyes on this blood. Meaning, put your eyes on the sacrifice of Jesus. Put your eyes on the power of resurrection. And as we take the communion, you will declare those words and see miracles in the name of Jesus. Bow your head. You've not given your heart to the Lord. You are in the hall online. If you're online, there's a link that will be put up there. Just click that link. And also, you can chat up privately on Glory Zone Church on the platform that you're watching from. You can chat up. You can chat us up. Or I'm sure the media will put the link there that you can just click. It takes you somewhere to feel and we'll get back to you immediately. Hallelujah. You are in the hall or watching online. I want you to pray this prayer. To be saved, to have your sins forgiven, is just by believing in your heart the Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, he was raised for your justification, and declaring with your mouth his lordship. That's how you get saved. That means you have to believe something and you have to say something. Nobody gets saved by being quiet. So you are praying that prayer in this hall. Bow your heads, everyone. Just raise your hand. You are saying, Dr. Caris, pray with me. I want to have a relationship with the Lord. I want to get born again. You can raise your hand right where you are. You can raise your hand right where you are. Even if you want to rededicate your life to Christ, it's the same category. You can raise your hand right where you are. I'm also praying online on ground. You can raise your hand and pray this prayer very simply. Say, dear God, can we pray the prayer with them? Say, dear God, I believe that you love me. I believe that Jesus is your son. He came and died for me. On the third day, he was raised for my justification. He broke the power of sin. Today, I declare that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I declare that sin is broken over my life. I receive eternal life into my heart. I receive forgiveness of sin by his sacrifice. Thank you, Father. You are now my Father. Thank you, God. You are now my Father. Thank you for saving me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. If you pray that prayer, ensure you see one of our pastors at the end of the service. Hallelujah. Online, ensure you click that link and somebody will attend to you immediately. Father, we thank you. Lord, we receive your body. We receive your blood. We thank you. We thank you for this blood sworn oath, for our prosperity, our peace, our progress, our justification, our well-being on the earth, our dominion over the nations. I declare that at this table, miracles are happening. Amen. I declare that at this table, mighty testimonies are bursting forth. Amen. Lord, those believing you for healing, for fruit of the womb, for healing of a loved one, for restoration, for a job, for direction, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as we partake of this table, let mighty testimonies break forth. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, blessed Father. It's a table of triumph. It's a table of victory. It's a table of triumph. Is a table of victory. Is a table of triumph. Is a table of victory. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a table of triumph. Put that thing before you and see your dominion and your triumph. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, give me 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It's our month of triumph. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and rejoice. It's our month of triumph. It's our month of triumph. Amen. I don't care what it is. Is it a habit? Is it a mountain before you? Is it something long-standing challenge? Triumph! Triumph! Hallelujah. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, Kalabayata. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even our faith. You can go ahead and accept the communion. I want you to keep speaking in tongues and rejoicing. And put your heart desires before you. And say, Lord, I have overcome the world. Nothing can stop me. It's my mount of triumph. I have prevailed. La sema talabaya.
I'll remember what you've done for me.
Hey,
Mela Patabala. Your perfect sacrifice and victory.
Hey, Papa, Ebalabaya.
I remember what you've done for me. Oh, my Lord.
Hey.
I worship you today.
Hey,
I worship you
today.
Oh, I remember
all
you've done. Your perfect sacrifice and victory. I remember what you've done for me. Oh my Lord, I worship you. Hey, I worship you today. Oh Lord, I remember what you've done for me. Perfect sacrifice,
for me.
Ahead and speak in tongues.
Hey, your perfect sacrifice,
victory
for me. Hey, I remember, Lord.
Go ahead and speak in tongues. What do you have before you? It's a month of trials. Nothing can put you under. No, not this month. Nothing can put you under. The earth is responding favorably towards you. The earth is responding favorably towards you. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Oh, for the Lord has set our hands over cities and nations. In the name of Jesus.
I worship you today.
We're going to sing it for the last time. Let your mind be upon him. I remember. Hey, The price has been paid. Your perfect sacrifice and victory. I remember. I will lift your hands, everyone. Oh, I remember. I remember all you've done for me.
All you've done for me.
He has done it. Your perfect sacrifice and victory.
Hey,
I remember all you've done for me. Oh, my Lord. I worship you today.
I worship you.
I worship you today. Lift your hands, Father. We stand in this blood. We stand in this blood. We stand in this blood. And we affirm your word. You say, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith is the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. We stand in this blood and we affirm your word. Every battle over our life, every battle, everything that has contended with us over the years, everything that is before us now, we stand in this blood and we declare triumph. We declare triumph. We declare victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are victorious and we are triumphant. Go ahead and rejoice.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.